What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I always have to take a second and figure out where the hell I'm at, what day it is, what podcast I'm recording, and got it figured out today. And today we have a returning guest from this week, Mr. Scott Cronin. Scott blessed us on the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. We're still trying to work out some audio issues there to get that episode up and running. But today we're going to be talking about hunting gear and equipment. Before we dive into that ball of wax, you are a professor?
Well, I'm a teacher. So yes, sir. I do some work with high school education, and through the years of dual credit with Murray State University down in Western Kentucky, they sometimes give us the title of an associate professor because of the work that we do there. So, but I love to deer hunt and fish and do a ton of work in conservation. So until we've got to start looking at paychecks and everything else, we're just going to talk like deer hunters today.
Yeah, that's right. And which is crazy, because when does school start for you guys back up again?
Ag teachers in the state of Kentucky work 240 days a year, where a traditional school teacher works 185 days. So we really don't get that traditional summer break, but the kids will be coming back here late in August. So a little later than normal. Lots of changes in schools with collaborations of schools coming together and merges. And of course, there's always construction projects, and there's just more to the school year than what meets the eye to most folks. But I have been listening and realizing your kids are back and rolling. So
no, they're not in yet. They start what? I don't even know what. Today's the 14th. So in 10 days, they go back to school. So all of next week, we have the final hurrah for summer, which I'm going to try to take advantage of and hang out with them as much as possible. And then it's back to school, which is also a sigh of relief, because now I can start to hit the gas pedal on work again and have like all this time that's uninterrupted that I can focus on the job and then preparing for the hunting season and doing all that stuff. So I'm really looking forward to, like, I'm going to miss the kids being away, but at the same time, I'm looking forward for them to go back to school so I can keep my sanity. There will be less fights in the house.
And hopefully better weather on the way. It's been a hot, miserable summer. Yeah.
Woo! It's been humid for sure. It's not bad. Like outside right now, there's a little overcast where I'm at, and there's no humidity compared to what we usually have in August. And I'm loving that, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week, it's going to be miserable.
It's amazing how much humidity can keep you out of the deer woods and out of the grind. So we need some cooler air, for sure.
Especially at my age. I used to be tough, where I would say, I don't care what the temperature is. I don't care. I have sat in 100-degree temp. I can remember one year, my first year chasing antelope and mule deer in Nebraska, I went out there and it was so hot. Like I was baking sitting on the side, you know, look, cause I'm on all of the north facing slopes looking into the shaded slopes where the mule deer are at and, you know, trying to pick them out. And I couldn't handle it. And then I've also hunted in like negative 25 degree with 25 mile an hour, you know, wind that on that brutal end as well. I've sitting in bug infested. I've sat in what's the other, like just massive amounts of rain and snow and sleet and hail and thunder and you name it. I've sat in it. And now these days I just don't put up with that stuff anymore. And I don't want to say I'm fair weather quite yet, because if a cold front comes through, I'm willing to get a little wet and a little cold, but the heat, I don't do that no more.
I've had a few folks come in and hunt around and in my area that I'm sure several of your listeners are familiar with, from the THP to Dave Owens with the Penhody Project, Josh with Before the Echo, and I think they know where I stand on hunting deer in the early season and hot weather. It's been there, done that. And we could even incorporate some of the gear that folks need to hunt that hot weather and prep. But there's definitely a part of me that thinks that the fun part of hunting, the enjoyable part, is during fall weather. So while I hunt in the heat, I will. But I really do respect fall. So
yeah. That's a fact. All right. We're going to do a quick thank you to our partner here at the Hunting Gear Podcast, and that is Reveal Trail Cameras. I've been running Reveal now for a handful of years, and I will say one thing, that the days of struggling to set a cell cam up are long gone. Like the ease of use, being able to scan a QR code, download an app their ease of use is awesome. And I absolutely love the camera, all the functionality of their cameras. They have the new Ultra out this year, and it's still in a box in my garage. I have to go get it out. I have majority of the ones I have out right now are the 3.0 versions. Amazing cameras, very affordable prices. Go check out tacticam.com/cameras and check out all the features of the new Ultra and last year's 3.0 version. So go check those out. Okay. You sent me a list of all these things that you wanted to talk about today, and they were these pieces of equipment and gear and like conversation that might not be direct hunting gear and equipment, but are very important planning and prepping for the upcoming season from a maintenance standpoint. But there was one bullet point I found on there. And after you said it, I'm going to steal your thunder here.
Okay.
And I thought about it and I'm like, this piece of equipment has allowed me to do so many things, not just scouting, but for the hunting season is too, not just near, but far as well. And it is a truck topper.
Oh man. Yeah.
Dude, being able to go someplace on a whim, dude, I've slept in the back of my truck. I don't know how many times in the past years, whether it's in a rest stop and I just could not drive anymore because I was falling asleep at the wheel, hop in the back, throw my sleeping bag out, you know, crash for, you know, 3-4 hours, get back in the car and drive some more, or whether I'm way out at a trailhead in the middle of nowhere, South Dakota, you know, Idaho and or Nebraska, and sleeping in the back of my truck, man. Valuable and really a money saver when it comes to, you know, like if you're comparing a truck topper for all the hotel rooms for all the nights, like 1 year of buying a truck topper saves you X infinity years of having to stay in a hotel if you're willing to rough that.
No doubt. There's so many things about a truck topper. My truck topper experience comes from buying them used on Marketplace when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And of course I've never owned a truck since the age of 16 that didn't have a topper on it. And then we'll go down a lot of different rabbit holes and we'll jump in the weeds with a lot of different parts of a topper if you wish, because not only does a topper provide you a place to sleep, it provides you a workspace. It provides you security. It doesn't matter if it's your bow cases. It doesn't matter if it's your firearm cases, your coolers. It doesn't take much anymore to put a few thousand dollars worth of stuff in a plastic tub that we get from Lowe's or Home Depot, right? I mean, the hunting gear that we use is very expensive. A lot of the hunting gear that we utilize now has got a lot of electronic-based stuff to it. So to have that dry environment, it's really important. And I'll even add on to it besides the truck topper, and that is the deck system is just absolutely phenomenal as well, because now you've got a completely hard, flat space instead of having to dodge around your wheel wells, and you're organized and you're secure. Mm-hmm. And man, you can just keep so much gear there. And I think it's okay to overpack on a lot of trips. I know that we do try to take as little as we need to in the field, but when your truck operates like a surgeon's operating room, man, what you can do as a hunter is amazing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the gear that you've got in the truck that can really let you make a long-term prep or a last-minute decision that will put a lot of venison on your table. It is without a doubt my tool room.
Yeah. And I'm looking up right now, DOD, GE, what it would cost for my, top, like a topper, variety of toppers. I mean, toppers can go anywhere, like the deck system that you were talking about. I'm looking at one right now that looks like it's about $1,600. Yeah. Is that right around what you got?
Yeah,
on yours?
And you can find them used, and basically it's something, as long as you've got a couple of hours of time and you've got the ability to know lefty, loosey, righty, tighty on, you know, nuts and bolts, man, you can put that thing in the back of your truck. Just in your driveway on a hot summer day. It gives you something to do during the off season to prepare for the grind of the season. But this hunting world that we live in and these commitments that we have between scouting and trying to stretch our dollar, it's an easy way to make your truck a 365 day a year tool as part of your gear. Mm-hmm. And it gives you something to do in the off season to kind of keep you ramped up and excited about the hunting season.
Yeah, that's a fact. And you know, they, depending on what kind of topper you had, mine was a hard topper. And it was not very easy. I mean, you needed, like, it was a two-man job to put it on, but put it on and take it off. But being able to walk into the back country, have all my gear in the back of the inside the cab and or in the back of the truck, I felt comfortable. Here's the downfall though. Okay. So I had an old truck 2 years ago. I'm sitting in South Dakota. It was the last trip I knew I was going to take out there with that truck. And I had to prop a trekking pole up in there so it wouldn't close all the way, because the plastic handle on the inside broke off somehow and I couldn't open it from the front. So one night I accidentally kicked that trekking pole out of there and I was stuck in my topper. There was no way of me getting out. So I literally had to like pry and kick. I took like a pole saw blade and it was like jimmying it like a, you remember Wicked tree saws.
Oh yeah.
I had one of those and I was like shimmying on both sides stuff. Finally, I just had to kick it.
Yeah.
And luckily it bent enough to where it, you know, now it didn't lock after that, but I was able to get out. So
yeah, there's no doubt.
I literally thought, yeah, I was going to have to call 911.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing is if that ever happens to somebody, your auto insurance covers windshield replacement every once in a while. So bust that baby out and get in there. I wouldn't let it keep me from a hunt. I'd have been over there with you finding a rock and we'd have got out and gotten to the field. I can guarantee you that. So we'd have looked like a couple guys breaking in your truck, you know?
Yeah. Do me a favor and drive 12 hours to come and get me.
Yeah. Yeah. I can do that, you know? So,
on this bullet point. So anyway, truck toppers, I think they're valuable. Right.
They're huge.
Especially if you have a place to maybe, cause like right now this summer, I wouldn't want one on, but definitely would love to have one on during the hunting season. The other thing, you gave a whole bunch of bullet points here. Talk to me about the vehicle in itself and what you're thinking of why putting money into your vehicle is important.
We can, but if I can backtrack just a little bit, I want to share something about the topper too.
Go ahead.
Most of my travels now, like anyone, I have a budget in mind and I'm looking at the price of vehicles these days. And to be honest, it just completely scares me what trucks cost.
Yep.
Through turkey hunting all through this country, I have learned that it's cheaper for me in the long haul to work my deals with rental cars. And I have gained an appreciation for SUVs and learning how to lay those seats down and understanding what it means to have that dry storage space. So even if folks don't have a truck, it's very important not to sell yourself short, because, man, you take a sleeping pad and some good weather and a sleeping bag, you don't have to get up as early. You're sleeping right there on site. And it goes back to, you've got all the gear that you need, so you can kind of overpack. So just, but those folks that are listening, don't forget about how valuable your vehicle can be just for storage and sleeping. It's just such a tool that's overlooked. But let's hit on some vehicle maintenance.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So one of the things that I think all of us will put some time, energy, and effort into is the quality of tires that we have on our vehicles that we hunt and fish out of so much. And I can't stress enough how important it is to just keep your regular maintenance up on a vehicle. And the reason why I bring it up is because over the years hunting with people, whether they're weekend warriors or they professionally hunt, it amazes me how they are not prepared for things like losing their wallet or losing their truck keys. Yeah. They don't understand how they may leave a dome light on. And so you can keep your vehicle up and on the road. And I'm talking about hoses and belts and any of your coolants in the vehicle, any of your lubricants mm-hmm. that are important to the vehicle, ball joints, four-wheel drive systems, air conditioning, heaters, all that. Stay on top of your vehicle through the year, because the last thing that you want to do is have vacation planned, to have money invested, and you break down on the way there, which can just happen even if you have good maintenance. Mm-hmm. But preventative maintenance on your automobile is so important, and stay on top of it. And one of the things that I've learned over the years, especially when I did some work for Cabela's, was that men, and I've been known to say this on more than one podcast, men have a really hard time admitting that they don't know how to do something. So if you don't know how to do your vehicle maintenance, at least find somebody that you can trust. But your shocks, your brakes, all of that stuff is so important. And think about where you can kind of store stuff in your vehicle with the maintenance and keep things together. It could be a set of jumper cables. It could be a battery pack. It could be things as like being able to plug your tires with a kit to just get you up to the next little tire service station where you're going. Don't depend when you go on these trips, and any of us that have been out there, when you're on some stone roads or you're really remote and your cell phone's not working, it doesn't matter if you've downloaded your maps on where you're going to go scout and have your access points. If you can't reach somebody to help you with a broke down vehicle, it's you, yourself, and me, basically, if we're hunting together and partners to get that joker back up on the road and running. So if you have a impact set that you can use as far as your sockets, find the one that matches your lug nuts on your vehicle. Make sure that you've got some way of working with something other than the factory jack, which is normally a piece of crap, stored somewhere in your truck. And if you're in a situation too, keep a little board or some type of plate around where if you're on soft soil or you don't have a good base to jack it up like you would in a shop or a driveway, that you've got something that you can put underneath that jack so it doesn't go on the ground. But if you hunt long enough, if you're in and around the farm long enough, you're going to have a flat tire. You're going to have some maintenance issues with your truck. And there's just some things that you can do there to help save the day. And it doesn't matter if it's those jump packs that you buy to have in your truck. It doesn't matter if it's tending to your batteries to see how old they are and making sure they're holding a charge, or just double checking your hoses and your belt. It doesn't matter what bow you shoot, doesn't matter what brand of camo you wear. If your truck's broke down, your vehicle's broke down, and you can't get to the spot, you're sitting, you know. It's an important factor of getting there.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the best, or it's one thing that I've had to use the most, and this was when back in the day. So what, 2 years ago, I bought a brand new truck, brand new to me. It mm-hmm. was a 2021. And, before that, I've never had a good truck. It's been like just junk truck after junk truck. And so I decided to splurge on this one and get a newer model. And anyway, I got some of the things that I've used that I've kept in my truck, obviously jumper cable, not only for myself, but to be the hero to somebody else. But one of those Interstate Batteries offers, if you go into one of their retail stores, they have a giant battery that's about the size of a VHS tape. Okay. And it, you can hook it up to your battery. If your car dies, let's say you leave the dome light on, you go out for all day, you come back, there's nothing on your battery, that will jumpstart your car or truck. It is a lifesaver. Yes, you can plug your phones. I use it for that. I've had to use it for that. I've had to use it to charge cell phones. You can charge your cell phone off of it. And then you can also charge it on your, well, they used to call it a cigarette lighter. I don't know what they, your, what do they call that now in your truck? The, like whatever oh, the charger little, portion of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a little 12-volt yeah. charger.
But yeah. Yeah, 12 volt charger. You can mm-hmm. then you can charge that up while you're driving, and so that has been one of the best things that I've ever kept in my truck. Now, back in the day, I also kept a bigger jack with me as mm-hmm. well. And I have had to change my tire in the backcountry in the middle of nowhere on a dirt ass road where as my truck came up, the jack went down into the sand and the dirt and whatever. And so I had to, and thank God I had brought this bigger jack with me and it did the job. It was like, it almost looked like a NASCAR jack where you had, I mean, it was probably 30, 40 pounds. And I'm lucky I had it with me. So those are the type of things where it's not like it's nothing to repair it right there, but it's something to get you at least out of the scenario that you're in and back to reality where you can get your vehicle looked at yeah. in a higher capacity, so to speak.
And while we're on the subject of changing tires, you know, that mm-hmm. spare tire needs maintenance too. Before you go on a trip, you need to make sure that it's got plenty of air in it. It doesn't hurt to have a compressor. It doesn't hurt to have some tire plugs. It doesn't hurt to have a can of Fix-A-Flat. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, if I've got like a small leak or something and I know that I can throw a can of Fix-A-Flat in it, I'm going to do that first. I mean, I'm going to try to make things as simple as I can, but you're going to run into problems here. And a lot of times too, you've got to be a good citizen, right? So if you're on some of these back roads, whether it's a hunter or just somebody traveling back and forth on their daily commute, if you do stop and you realize somebody's broke down and you've got all this stuff in your truck, it may take you 10 minutes to help them versus maybe where you'd have to run them to town and have to ruin your hunt. And I hate to yeah. say it, but we're all kind of selfish with our time. I am. I mean,
yep.
And
yep.
so any of that, it goes back to, I mean, we've all had landowners that you show up at their house. And if you're going to try to hunt starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you better get there at 1 o'clock because there may be something that they have you do, or there may be a conversation that they want to have. And, you know, you've kind of got to plan around that. Well, this maintenance on your vehicle is no different in the planning. And
right.
I think one thing too, that's really important as younger people maybe are listening to this, we can relate to what you said, what was new to you or what is new to me. Not everybody is out there driving around in a brand new, you know, 2025 vehicle. I mean, all of us are probably stretching our dollar and dealing with this economy and inflation. I would say that just vehicles getting more miles on them in general, Dan, is probably a more common topic than what a lot of folks may realize, because we're all grinding, man. We're all getting killed by this by this country's economy right now.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Obviously, the maintenance, right? Make sure you're up to date on your oil changes. Every year about this time, I think sometime in September, I usually call the auto shop that's in the small town next to me. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to bring it in for an inspection. They get under the hood, they get under the truck, they, you know, flashlight the springs and the shocks and the struts, and they're going and doing their, whatever, 214 point inspection on the vehicle. Oh, yeah. And then they tell me what's good and bad. So that's one thing. Anything else with the vehicle portion of it that
check your coolants. Yeah. Have them check your coolants, you know, make sure that they're, you know, your thermostats and all that stuff in your vehicle are extremely important, you know, and also try to, follow as close as you can spark plugs and different things, because not only does that keep you on the road and keep you running, but if you're on the road as much as what we are, if you can gain another half a mile or 0.8 of a mile or a mile per gallon out of your gas tank, and you look at that over, you know, 20,000 or 30,000 miles that you're getting in between this maintenance and that maintenance, you know, gas is still close to $3 a gallon, I would say, on the nationwide average. Yeah. So your tires, you know, rotating and bouncing them, you're going to get more life out of them. You're going to get a quieter ride going down the road. You're going to get better fuel efficiency, windshield wipers and different things. And always be concerned too, you know, we can e-scout and we don't know exactly what we're going into. We can try to get advice from other people, but when it comes to your vehicle, let me tell you something, soil, dirt, mud, whatever you want to call it, it's not the same everywhere either. And roads get greasy and slimy. after rain. There's a lot of roads that have a lot more rock in them. So, you know, just never short yourself on a good set of tires and having good rubber on tires. And, and you can get away with a little bit more in the summer. But, man, come fall hunting season or spring turkey season, make sure that if, you know, you're not pushing the envelope. And as far as a safety measure goes, you get back to your family. I mean, why in the world do you want to risk not being able to brake and stop? And this relates to the hunter so well. We're hunting deer. Let's just focus on deer. We're hunting deer primarily nationwide when deer are at their peak breeding cycle, right? They only get to do this event once a year, so they're excited. Think about how many deer you encounter when you do have to get in your vehicle and drive after an evening's hunt or early in the morning. So you don't need to sell yourself short on braking. And braking is just not based on rotors, drums, and pads. Braking's based on the amount of rubber that's meeting the road. So just take it all into consideration. And as far as the safety note and all that stuff goes, wear your seatbelt and keep your speeds pretty normal when you're out on these hunting trips, because there's a lot of places you've been there, I've been there. You have a wreck, it's going to take a minute or two for somebody to come find you.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting. World of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Yeah. I can promise the first one, I'm always going to wear my seatbelt, but
the speed
driving. Yeah. I can't promise on that, dog, because
wide open throttle. Yeah. Wide open throttle.
When you get into certain parts of Nebraska, South Dakota, Wyoming was one. I got to tell you a quick story. Me and, you know, Mark Kenyon.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Our first elk hunt. We drove all the way through the night, right? Mm-hmm. He drove from Michigan. He met me in Iowa. We consolidated our vehicles and we just went all the way through to Idaho. And there were times where we're driving through Wyoming and there's no other vehicles on the road. And we're damn near pegged on the speedometer. Mm. Dude, I hit a jackrabbit at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
He was kind of dozing off in the back seat and I just just smoked this jackrabbit at 90 miles an hour that was on this highway. And I had to slow down a little bit after that because the adrenaline in my body was shaking. I saw my life flash before my eyes. And so, but then I forgot about it on the way back and we did the same thing on the way back. But anyway.
Yeah. Vehicle maintenance. I'll give you a little tip too, real quick is, you know, windshield wiper blades, all those things are important, you know, making sure that you got fluid in your windshield fluid. But, you know, folks that clean their vehicle, I'm a big believer actually in using some type of ozone on the inside of my vehicle to remove all of the smells and just maintenance wise, you know, I kind of spray my interior down with permethrin, especially during peak tick seasons and all that. But there's just so many different things that you can do with your vehicle that will make it function so much better for you as a tool with your hunting. So take care of it. You know, they're expensive. They're hauling a lot of gear for us. And hey, we're precious cargo, right? My wife makes fun of me for my topper, but I'm sure she does want me to come home in one piece.
That's right. That's right. The next little piece I want to talk about real quick is something that you never think you need until you actually need it. Mm-hmm. And that's a first aid kit. I got bit by a dog, not last year, but the year before, a pheasant hunter. like, so this pheasant hunter pulls up to me and I wave at him and I motion the roll down your window to him. And he yells, just open it up. They were, you know, old school roll yourself windows, right? They weren't automatic windows. And I open the door and his dog's in the front seat. And I do the whole put my hand out to let the dog sniff me. And the son of a bitch bit me. And I, thank God, had the disinfectant and all that stuff in the, in the car. And I bandaged myself up. I didn't go to the hospital because I knew where deer were at. And so I wanted to get out there and do the deer, you know, do the deer hunting thing. But then the next morning, after the morning hunt, I did drive back into town and get checked for like, and get a tetanus shot and things like that. But being able to bandage that up, cause it was a heavy bleeding wound, and I was able to stop it with some gauze and some bandage and things like that. So, make sure. And then every time I go out into the field, I have a smaller first aid kit. That's, I don't know, the size of a softball. Maybe it's a pretty fairly small, but it gives you just enough to bandage up with a cut or a scrape and maybe some safety pins or some, a little pack of contact solution. Cause I wear contacts. So all that necessary stuff.
There's a lot. And I tell people all the time when I teach hunter education classes, we normally tend to hunt with our friends and our family. And, you know, you never want to be in a situation where you have some type of fatality, for sure. Right. And you don't want to see people in pain.
Yeah.
But, as much as we hunt with extremely sharp objects like broadheads and as much firearm exposure we have, those are probably the things that people think about the most. But you got to remember, we're cutting with a knife. We're putting ourselves in terrain that could give us a compound fracture at any given time. And if you look at what you can pack on you and what it weighs, if you're not buying or you do not have and not packing and not carrying some type of clotting kit, you need to have it. And you need to have it at your truck and you need to have it in your hunt pack or whatever, because falling out of a deer stand, if you're doing a spot and stalk and you have a nasty fracture, or you have some type of cut on some granite or just a sharp rock, maybe you have a puncture, and you need to remove something before you can get to the hospital, right? You need to be thinking about kind of what's going on and what's out there. And first aid kits too, can be something that's really simple that can really save your day with just something as aggravating as a stupid blister, and being able to take care of that joker. And it doesn't matter if you've already wore your boots and broke them in. Sometimes you get blisters and you wear stuff, even when you're not trying to, you know, push the limits or whatever. Things just happen and occur. Tweezers, all of that stuff, you know, whether you keep it in your truck, what have you, food and water, having some type of ration that you can provide yourself, and a clean water source, having some type of solar powered little charger for your phone, having your phone cord with you in areas that you get service. All of these things are part of a first aid kit. It's not just the Band-Aids and the tweezers that are important. And something too that's really important to remember and realize and understand, when you travel and you hunt with people, and let's pick on men once again during this podcast. A lot of times people won't tell you what's wrong with them in their health. They won't tell you if they have a heart condition or if they've not been feeling well or if they're diabetic or whatever. Your first aid kit needs to be kind of ready to help other people too. And it's just extremely important, like I said, in those hunter aid classes, you're hunting with your family and your friends. And so if something's going to happen or occur, it's going to be with people that you care a lot about. So you can save somebody's life. You can save your own life and you can prevent things from happening. But but don't go at it too like the sky's falling in. I mean, you can get stung by a wasp, or you could have some type of allergic reaction because you're exposed to some plants in a state you've never hunted before, or have some poison ivy. Just take some stuff with you that's not going to wreck your hunt.
Right. Exactly. I'll tell you another story. It was the first time I ever packed out a mule deer. And so at the time we were 1.5 miles, mile and a half from our camp from the trailhead to the camp that we set up. Then we set up, and then we hiked another mile in. Then we were glassing, and then that afternoon we early in the morning we watched these mule deer come off this giant pasture or whatever, and they dropped down into the terrain, and we went in after them. Okay. We ended up shooting our mule deer at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we had a little snack, and then we had another little snack. And then we ate something before we started packing out. Right. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't enough. And we did not have enough water for all of that stuff that we were doing. And by the time we got back to the truck, our body was depleted of energy and we were extremely dehydrated. I think it was 4 miles of a pack out in pretty warm weather from the time that we, left to the time that we got back. I think it was, man, that 4 miles was about 4 hours. We shot the deer at 1, started doing everything, and didn't get back till dark at about 8 o'clock that night. And so what I'm getting at is I always now, whether that's a whitetail hunt where I'm walking 500 yards, or if I'm, going to have to hike 5 miles, whatever the case is, I have some kind of high sugar treat, and I have like a Gatorade or an additional water source in my truck at all times so that I can, again, have enough fuel, because we didn't go back to our camp. We went straight from the kill to the truck, and then we had to do a 40-minute drive into the closest town where we had got a hotel that night so we could drop the meat off at the processor. Then we went back in the next day to tear camp down. But if I didn't have, I probably would have been all right. But have you ever been so exhausted that you don't want to take another step? Like, I was at that point in that pack out. Yeah. And I just, and when I got back to the truck, I was like shaking because my body had no nutrients in it and I was dehydrated.
Yeah.
And finally I had that stuff I didn't want to say it saved me like I was going to die, but it really helped bring my sugar levels back up and my energy levels back up to get back into the truck and drive into town.
Yeah, no doubt. And believe it, I mean, water can create an emergency situation. I mean, very quickly. Yep. Dehydration is legit. It's real. I am going to ask you a couple questions, and maybe it'll help some other folks and some listeners as we develop into this conversation. Did you pass water along the way, like anything, or were you in such an arid area that you didn't have any source of water to use, like a water filtration system?
So we did that morning, right? So we I don't know how many days we're out there until we killed, but we did go to this water hole and got some water and then that was for the day. Yep. We got some, we took it back to camp. And then what we had at camp, we took with us like what we would have figured for the day. Uh-huh. Well, we used all of it on the hike, for the day as we're sitting there deboning the meat and packing it up. And there was a little bit left, but you don't realize how much you're drinking when you're expelling all of that energy. And then on top of probably not drinking enough anyway, I think when you're going, especially on a backpack hunt, a lot of guys underestimate the amount of water that they're going to need because of how I cook my meals too. Dehydrated meals need a certain amount of water, and you're adding, a cup of water or however many cups of water to your meal. And then that takes away. And so I've had to, we found I don't even know what it was. I don't think it was a spring. It was just over the course of the summer, it had collected rain and there was mud on all the edges. So you had to walk down in through the mud to get to it. But then we filtered it and we got, our tablets in it and whatnot, but
believe it or not, I was in a rescue training program out in Wyoming, and what we've learned was it's when you have guys that are in our age group and when you have people who care about their physical fitness, and both you and I do, when you're always telling yourself to push yourself, push yourself, push mm-hmm. yourself. And most of the rescues that happen out in the arid Western states, it's where people go up in elevation very quickly and come down very quickly. Mm. Like, I can give you a prime example. Anywhere around like the Grand Tetons, you get up in elevation fast, you come down very fast. So it's not like you have this acquisition and everybody thinks, well, I've been out here, I've done this. And you start over each trip, every season, every elk hunt, every bear hunt, every sheep hunt, whatever, every whitetail hunt. If you're going up and down in elevation, you're starting over every time. Doesn't matter how many times you've been acclimated. People need to understand that. But it's our age group of people. It is hustlers like us that push, and like you hit your buddy, like, come on, you sissy, you know, it's only a mile and a half. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Those are the people that are being rescued. It's the people who push the extra 5 pounds of weight on the bar. It's the people that try to get that extra half a minute off of their run time. It's the people who are eating better choices at the dinner table for their physical fitness. Those are the people that are going and getting rescued out in these types of situations because we push ourselves and we don't realize that when we push ourselves to a certain point that the body can do a lot more than what we expect. But if people are really worried about gear and what they can put in their first aid kits and what to do, start looking at your ultra marathon runners and start looking at these little things that they can basically put into a pouch, and you can get a extreme amount of hydration and carbohydrate intake into it. Look at things that are natural, like honey. I think betta honey is like the thing that I keep probably the most, you know, in my pack. It's just a sugar deal. And it goes back to that deal. Like, what if you have somebody that their sugar drops, or what if you deal with somebody that's got a cardiovascular issue, or they don't have their meds and things take longer than they expect? I mean, there's just so many ways that we push ourselves. And you were talking about you don't realize how much water you go through or how you can get hydrated so quick. Think about how many of us leave an area that's not arid and we go into places that are arid and we hunt. We think because we're not sweating, we think because our clothes aren't wet or we don't feel that coolness of our bodies naturally chilling, that we're not that hot. Man, how water works in our bodies is an amazing thing. And you've got to start being creative of like your food sources. You know, what will an apple give me besides calories? An apple will give you some hydration. What will an orange mm-hmm. give you besides a sweet taste? It will give you some hydration. So learn this stuff, study this stuff. As you age and you start learning how your trail cameras and your pinch points and your e-scouting and all these different pieces of equipment that we have are better, remember that there is one piece of gear that we have, and it's called our body. And what you feed your body is you can do two things with your body. You can either treat it and feed it with medication, or you can feed your body with good food and good hydration. My choice is good food and good hydration. And so if you expect your bow to shoot at peak levels, and if you expect your rifle to be at peak levels, you better start understanding that your body is part of your gear. It's the most important part. And it's not just your physical strength. It's right here. You can have all the heart in the world in it, but you start dealing with being dehydrated, or you start dealing with being exhausted. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. You make stupid decisions, and stupid decisions can get you hurt or killed, or stupid decisions because you're not cognitively thinking in the way in which you should is going to make you screw up, and you're going to bounce a mule deer up out of its bed, or you're going to make a mistake to where you can't kill whatever size whitetail you want. So you got to keep yourself strong. Your body is a piece of gear. Take care of it.
Yeah. Yep. That's a fact. That's a fact. All right. So we talked a little bit about first aid kits and what we keep in the truck, things like that. Let me pull up the rest of this list here. Let's see. Anything else notable that you want to talk about today before we start to shut this down?
Yes, sir. I want to talk about how most of us really enjoy the game in which we harvest at our table.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about how real and how legit this alpha gal situation is with tick-borne illness, Rocky Mountain spotted fever. You need to learn how to treat your skin with Picardian. It's a phenomenal product. The supplier that I utilize the
most
is Sawyers. It's Picardian. It's what you treat your skin with. It would be a replacement. It's kind of like the modern replacement now for DEET. Okay. And you need to reach out to Sawyers and do a podcast with them about how important this is. There's alarming numbers of what's happening with the amount of people who are getting tick-borne illness. And these things occur not only to people that are going in and out of the field to hunt and fish, but it's people that are involved with careers in the outdoor industry. It deals with our kids. It deals with everything. But on the hunting side, learn how to treat your skin with Picardian. Learn how to treat your clothing with permethrin. Understand how that works. It is odorless when it dries. A brand like Sawyer's, the reason why it's so good is because it's a pharmaceutical blend of permethrin. So when it dries, yes, it has an odor when you smell it, but when it dries, it does not have a scent that is supposed to be recognizable. Of course, deer, dogs, all that stuff, we know how well they smell anyway. But don't put yourself in a situation where you're facing going out and enjoying your hunt, and then you're coming back from a tick bite, finding out weeks or months later that now you've got some type of disease where you can't consume pork or red meat or venison or whatever. And don't put yourself in a situation with some of these alarming statistics that are growing with the amount of Rocky Mountain spotted fever and all of the other new types of diseases that we're learning that's coming from ticks. Just take time to treat your gear. Take time to treat your skin and use products. Like, you don't want to use DEET to the level where, like, it's going to melt your gun stock or your bow grip, right? So realize there's some things out there. And permethrin is not just crazy carcinogen when they tell you you can't spray it on your skin. It's all in how it bonds with fiber. Learn your insecticides. Learn how to treat yourself to where you're not putting yourself in harm's way, because ticks are an increasing complicated mess right now, and we're just going to keep hearing more and more and more about them.
Gotcha. Yeah. And what was that, Alpha Girl? You said Alpha Girl?
Alpha Girl. Alpha Gal. Alpha Gal.
Alpha Gal.
So Alpha Gal. So it's where you're basically going to be impacted to where your body, when you consume certain types of protein like pork and red meat, like beef or venison or elk, that basically your body has an allergic reaction to it. And I'll just give you some numbers very quickly. Like, in the state of Kentucky, we're having 25,000 plus cases a year of new alpha gal diagnosis. And so what would be any worse to you, Dan Johnson, than being told by the doctor that you could no longer consume elk or deer meat or cattle or pork? Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, And it's something that we definitely need to take into consideration. And I don't know if people leave comments on your post with your podcast, but it would be amazing to poll your audience, your listeners, on how many people have been impacted, either their families or themselves, by a tick-borne illness. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that number will give you the fact that you probably need to cover it a little bit as you move through on what's concerning and hurting hunters.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. And dude, I get bit by ticks every year. My son was recently bitten by a tick, and it's always something that I don't think about until I get a tick bite. Right. And then you're like, oh my God, maybe I do need to start putting some of this permethrin on my pants and shoes and clothes before I go out and use them. That's a fact. That's a fact. Yep.
And I'll tell you this, it's proven that, it's proven tick infestation it's killing, animals. And I think as far as deer managers, and we'll talk about it later on down the road, but I see a day where one day you'll have a deer, podcast or an elk podcast or just a gear podcast where we're doing something to help relieve the.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
These animals we hear so much about ticks because it's sickening. You were talking about reveal trail cameras. It's sickening how many of these deer are just absolutely totally infested with ticks in the summertime. And I can tell you, 10-15 years ago, it wasn't this bad. I mean, it's an issue.
Yeah. I think you saw the post I made the other day where I had a picture of a doe and a fawn and the side of the doe was covered in something. Could have been flies, could have been ticks, but yeah, they got to deal a lot. And then the other thing is a couple years ago when I killed one of my bucks and you know, you got it hanging in the garage, the amount of ticks that come off of a dead deer, it was shocking how many deer, how many ticks were in there. Like
it left that.
I didn't even want to get into.
I was looking for a new host.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't even want to start cutting it up for a while yet. I wanted to like let them all just drop and go somewhere before, you know, because they had to go somewhere, and I didn't want to be handling all that. So I let that deer hang an extra day. Luckily, it was cool. And I let it hang an extra day before I started, you know, caping it out and taking the meat off of it. But yeah, that's no joke, man. Those ticks are no joke if you catch the wrong one, for sure. I think this is a good place to stop. Like we covered a lot of this. I mean, just some honorable mentions here that I'll go over real fast is, you know, some Allen wrenches for your bow, maybe a gun cleaning kit, a cooler, some kind of fire starter. Lighter or something like that. Maybe an additional target, pruners like tree pruners, battery operated saw that might be a good idea. So maybe we'll have to do kind of a part two on this later on into the, later on and get a part two of this conversation a little bit deeper. But I feel like the conversation that we had today was noteworthy. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your time, Scott. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Yeah, sounds good. I appreciate it, Dan.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
Eczema is unpredictable, but you can flare less with Ebglyss, a once-monthly treatment for moderate to severe eczema. After an initial four-month or longer dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss.
Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.